Tonight in New York, jazz musician Henry Grimes takes the stage after nearly 40 years in the shadows. In the 1950s and 60s, Grimes was on the A-list. He was an in-demand bass player whose talents spanned the swing of Benny Goodman and the avant-garde of Albert Ayler. Then Henry Grimes disappeared, NPR's Felix Contreras reports.
It's easy to follow Henry Grimes' early career. Just check the CD bins. You'll see his name on records by Chet Baker in the early 1950s, Benny Goodman in the mid-50s, Jerry Mulligan, Lee Konitz, and Anita O'Day in the late 50s. Then it was on to Thelonious Monk, Sonny Rollins, and Cecil Taylor.
I mean, he was phenomenal, but he was who he was playing with in that time. Just a short period there, a few years. He was playing with everybody you could think of, from every genre, you know, it's amazing.
Clarinetist Perry Robinson recorded with Grimes on the bass player's only session as a leader in 1965. Three years after that record came out, Henry Grimes walked out of a San Francisco nightclub and into the darkness. Historians, his fellow musicians, even his friends thought that Grimes had just disappeared. And for the next 35 years, his story was a mystery. Or more accurately, it became a collection of rumors. He was dead, he became a minister, he dyed his hair green and became an actor. Fast forward to 1986 when a teenage punk rock fan named Marshall Marat heard the Henry Grimes record played in a music store.
From just the first few notes, I was just hooked. It was something I'd never heard before. I'd never heard music played that way before. It seemed well thought out, like things were just flowing directly from the mind to the fingers and out of the bass.
Fast forward again to 2001. Marshall Marat is now a jazz fan, and Henry Grimes is still a mystery. But now, Marat is also a social worker in Athens, Georgia. He uses his skills tracking relatives of the city's homeless to try to find Henry Grimes. At night and on weekends, he searches death and birth certificates and medical records. He finally tracks down a man listed as Henry Grimes living in a single-room residency hotel in Los Angeles.
You got to understand, this is kind of a run-down old hotel that social services runs in Los Angeles. And you could hear all this background noise, people yelling and screaming and having arguments and laughing. They sent someone up to his room to get him. And, you know, I was waiting and waiting. I was very excited.
The next thing he knew, Marat was talking to former bass player Henry Alonzo Grimes. Marat had solved the where of the mystery. Henry Grimes tries to explain the why.
Economically, it wasn't as successful for me at that moment, so I had to get out of the way and sort of let things happen and save myself from, collision with other forces and so forth. And I just had to get away from it and just relax and take it easy.
Grimes says the other forces were what doctors then diagnosed as manic depression. His friend Perry Robinson recalls visiting Grimes in a hospital.
I remember he had a little breakdown or whatever it was, and I went up to see him, and he was on I guess they were giving him Thorazine or some of these things, you know. But he had a few things. Things were coming on during that period, you know. We didn't talk about it until late. Actually, today, you know, we can talk about it.
Not only could Henry Grimes not talk about what was going on inside him, but he couldn't deal with it as a musician.
What I did was I did a lot of physical work. I think I needed a lot of physical work because of my nerves, you know. That calmed my nerves down. So I did a lot of different kind of jobs. I worked as a janitor in a bowling alley, custodians in temples, you know, like that.
The one thing Henry Grimes didn't do was play music. He didn't touch a bass for 35 years. He didn't keep up with the jazz world at all.
Are there many... guys from New Orleans coming up?
Hardly any at all.
Marshall Morat flew out to Los Angeles a week after their initial phone call. He recorded the conversations as they pored over a stack of Grimes' records.
Unit Structures with Cecil again.
Am I on that one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember we used to do a lot of playing, but, you know. I don't remember.
Other fans besides Morat remember, too. New York bassist William Parker was just 16 years old when Henry Grimes disappeared. In an expression of gratitude for Grimes' influence, Parker shipped a bass to Grimes in Los Angeles. Jazz patron Margaret Davis arranged for a New York music shop to keep Grimes in strings and bows. Old friends and colleagues have been getting in touch.
You know, a lot of people have been nice that way, and I really appreciate it. You know, I wish I could express just what it feels like if people just come up and start helping you out from all kinds of angles, you know, but it's true. It's beautiful. That told me that the way things are, you still love, you know, and that's the way it is.
Henry Grimes will be on stage tonight with some old friends in New York. The evening will be a celebration of Henry Grimes, what he was and what his friends and fans hope he'll become again. Felix Contreras, NPR News.
NPR's foreign editors are Lauren Jenkins, Ted Clark, Jeff Sandman, Dee Dee Skanky, Doug Roberts, Bob Duncan, Rina Advani, and Vladimir Dubinsky. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.